The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. And then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on the way back.' Now, which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" And he answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, there's a saying that says, "Kiss, keep it simple, silly." Keep it simple. Today's readings are trying to make our teaching, our theology, simple. And it ends with an invocation to go and do it. You know, I read somewhere that when we're sick, we go to a doctor, right? The doctor studied years. He knows all this medical skills and stuff. But you, I, when we go to the doctor, we don't need to know all that. We just need to take the medicine, and we can get better. So too with our faith. There are some very learned people out there, like professors in high schools who teach religion. Picking on someone out there. But we, normal people, don't necessarily know all our faith. And so sometimes it's helpful for a good teacher to explain the essentials. That's really what's happening in the readings today. The first reading is saying that, you know, Moses gave us the law, and it's all right there for you. You don't have to really go up to the heavens or to the sea. Just, there it is. Just do it. Except, as you know, the laws in the Old Testament aren't just a few. There's, I think they told me, over 600 and something of them. And so in the New Testament, Jesus is debating with the scholars and the teachers, and they're trying to show how good and learned they are by trying to make it simple. And so they test Jesus, because this is really what a real teacher would do, is be able to answer these kind of questions. Sum it all up. What's it like? And Jesus turns it back on him, and he gives an answer that the other Gospels, Mark, And Matthew attributes Jesus to making this insight. But in Luke's gospel, it's the scholar of the law. He says the law can be summed up in love God, that's a vertical dimension, and love your neighbor. It's a horizontal dimension. And in the other gospels, it says the entire law is summed up with these two. Love God and love your neighbor. That's pretty profound. Because you know that we can claim we love God, but if we're a cold, uncaring person to others, we must actually question if we truly love God. And I say that if we experience God's love for us, it can't help but overflow into showing love to others. And it has a horizontal dimension. But it goes both ways, because when we truly love others, and that's kind of one of the reasons for marriage, we learn how to become more loving and a better lover of God. And so our faith, to be balanced, has to have that vertical dimension and that horizontal dimension. The scholars of the law are pointing that out. Jesus agrees, but then the scholar wants to justify himself. All that really means, I think, is that he's got Jesus' time. Jesus answered the question too quick. And matter of fact, Jesus tricked him and made him answer the question, so he's got to get another question in there. Who's my neighbor? Now, that actually happens to be a pretty pertinent question, because love God and love your neighbor are a combination of two laws, one from Deuteronomy, one from Leviticus. The Leviticus one says love your neighbor, but the context of it just before that is your countrymen. And so the interpretation is that the Jew should love the Jew. And the implication is hate the others. And so the question is very profound. Who is my neighbor? And so Jesus answers with a story, a parable. And you know the context of the story. Jews hated Samaritans. Priests, like Father Carlos, and sometimes me, are supposed to be good people. The Levite, also a scholar of the law, the priestly tribe. And so, when they see this half-dead body on the side of the road, for the priest and the Levite, the religious laws tell them that they cannot touch a dead body because they will become impure and they won't be able to go to the temple and offer worship to God, which is their duty. And so they have very good reasons. Not only can they not touch a dead body, they have to stay a certain distance away from it. And so they go to the other side of the road to walk around the body that might be dead. Turns out in this case, it's not. But then the Samaritan comes, and he's moved with compassion. He doesn't think, oh, I'm supposed to hate this person. He's moved with compassion, and he acts. And he takes oil and wine, medicines of the day, and cares for this person. Jesus is saying the obvious. Who's my neighbor? If I'm going to love God and love others, who are those others? Every single human being. Because in our minds, we often find very good reasons not to love or help another person or not to care for them. We might find that they've hurt us in the past. We might think that they're lazy or they're drug addicts or they're homeless or they're uneducated or they're homosexual or straight or they're Muslim or Christian or atheist or they're legal or illegal. They belong here, they don't. They're black, they're white. I can go on, right? We find many good reasons to hate or not like, or not care for others. But Jesus is saying, all of us have one thing in common. We're human. And God came into the world, and he joined us in our suffering. You see, when sin entered the world, it divided us, and it causes suffering. God didn't come to take away that suffering. He actually, because it's a consequence of our sinfulness, can use it, doesn't desire it, but he uses it as a way to unite us and to bring us back to himself. And so isn't it true in your experience that when something terrible happens, like an earthquake, a fire, everyone comes together and they speak of how everyone helped each other and it was a beautiful thing? Probably Democrats, Republicans, people who like Donald Trump, people who don't. I talked to someone who went through 9/11 in New York, and I asked her just recently, a year or two ago, how's the city there now? She says, you know, it's never been better. People recognize how precious life is. People are kinder to one another, and we're a stronger community. God is in the midst of our suffering, and he's calling us to reach out to one another and put those judgments aside because there's something more important. We're all united. We're all brothers and sisters. And you know, it probably has been your experience that if we sometimes go beyond our prejudices and minister to another, we find out they're not really as lazy or drunk addicts or irresponsible as we thought. We find there's a story there. Or if they look different than us and act very different to us, as we get to know them, we see that we have a lot in common. And ministering to each other in that suffering breaks down the walls that divide us. Jesus' teaching is very simple to say, but very hard to do, and I fail to do it every day. And so, remember, as we find it easy to hate or to not help others, our highest call, if we truly love God, is to love others. God has calling us to the vertical dimension, to love God, and that love helps us love others. And in the intersection of the vertical and the horizontal is the very heart of God. That's where God encountered us in our suffering. And if we want to be like that God, we encounter others in their suffering. And we bring that God to them, and there we truly encounter that God. Also, this parable can be interpreted on a symbolic level. We are the victims. Jesus is the Good Samaritan, and the inn is the church. Unless we really recognize that we need to be saved in Christ Jesus and call out for that salvation and help and experience his love intervening in our difficulties, in our need for salvation, and then feel his care, the sacraments, the oil and the wine, and become members of the church, it's harder to love others until we know God's love. And it's hard to know God's love unless we recognize how much we need it, because we're wounded by sin. We're the victims. And so let us turn to Christ. Allow him and his love to heal us, and let us love one another, our sisters and our brothers. And that will lead them to Christ, to God, and we don't have to change them. We can simply invite them to that love, to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life.